Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Coming up on the program still, at the 11 o'clock hour, you'll want to stick around for April Marie Fogle of Alabama Today. Always good catching up with her. Usually hear her on Fridays, had a bout of laryngitis, so she's going to be with us today instead. And then we'll close it all out with our friend Shane Stringer, state representative from Satsuma. Catch up on the legislature with him and his pre-filed or his bills he has filed. Also, maybe even talk about Highway 45, a personal endeavor of yours truly here. And always good to rehash that. So please stick around. But joining us now, always good to get this next gentleman on. Very grateful for him to make time for us down here in Southwest Alabama. State Senator Arthur Orr of Decatur is on the line. Senator, how are you doing?
Hey, doing well, Jeff. Wish I were down there. It's still, I think, in the 30s up here in the Northland, so bet it's a little bit warmer down there on the coast.
It's a little bit warmer, but I tell you, it's still cold by the standards down here for sure. But yeah, you're right. It is warmer. Senator, I guess first off, everything going okay for you? I know a lot of your colleagues had some COVID scares, but your family and everybody doing all right?
So far, so good. Mom and Dad in their 80s had it back in December, so we had to scramble and deal with that. But they came through it okay. So very blessed that we hadn't been touched in a very, very adverse way like a lot of families have.
Well, that's good to hear. But I guess now we're into the 2021 session, much different navigating the corridors of the State House now under COVID-19. A week into it, do you think it's going okay?
Yeah, so far so good. As far as I know, you know, the House having more members will have a higher possibility or probability of someone getting the getting COVID and you know, creating a problem with who else was in contact with that member, quarantining, et cetera. But the first week went pretty well from all that I understand.
Yeah, and it seems like you made progress. Those three big priorities that were ones we talked about all in the lead up, the economic development, and then the taxation stuff with Garrett and Dan Roberts. And then finally, I think one we talked a lot about, and this is really was part of kind of getting back to normal, was your effort to provide some kind of liability protection for businesses. That looks like it has made some significant progress the first week.
Yes, it did. It passed the Senate almost unanimously, Republicans and Democrats, everyone agreeing that it's something that we need to do to protect businesses from, and others, I should add, churches, local governments, nonprofits, a lot of different groups interested in this legislation because they don't want to be inundated with a bunch of what I'll call frivolous lawsuits of people claiming, oh, I got COVID in your business, or, oh, I caught COVID at church, and I'm going to sue you and expect you to pay. It's very difficult to prove that negative. And when that happens and there's uncertainty on both sides, usually the deeper pocket will wind up settling the case for some amount of money. The bill does not provide any protection for bad actors. And by bad actors, I mean, let's take a business who didn't require masks to be worn by its employees or didn't enforce Governor Ivey's health guidance or Scott Harris's when it comes to masks on the premises for customers. They didn't sanitize their premises. They didn't require social distancing at the checkout line. They didn't do anything. And they ignored the law and were willfully, disobedient to the law. Well, if someone gets COVID, an employee at a cash register, and they didn't take these precautions, the business, then they would not get any protection from the bill. So that it would protect the good actors, but certainly not the bad actors.
Right. But it's not just some kind of blanket amnesty or whatever. You're not going in there, and I've seen this criticism, but you're making it very clear that if there was something, real liability there, that you're still a reasonable person, you're going to be held account. But this isn't just going to wipe the slate clean.
No, it is not a blanket community. We call or immunity. We call it a kind of a safe harbor bill. If you followed all the guidelines as were promulgated by the Department of Public Health, then you would have some protection. If you did not, or you ignored it, or didn't try to enforce it, and were willful in those acts of just disregarding all that guidance for your employees or your customers, then you would get no protection. Now, let me, of course, qualify, not to get too much down the legal road. Anytime an employee would catch COVID in the workplace, even with an employer following the health guidance, they have a arguable workers' compensation claim if they called it, in the course of their employment. So there is a remedy out there for those that maybe catch it on the workplace and then of course, be able to collect damages if they have some lingering issues with their lungs or something, then that's all available. That's untouched. It's just the employer who is a bad actor and creates an unsafe workplace environment, similar to an employer that maybe takes a safety mechanism off a machine or something, and an employee loses a finger or something. That's an unsafe workplace environment, and that's certainly not protected by the bill.
Joined by State Senator Arthur Orr here on the program. Senator, moving on to the other, I guess, the hot topics, if you will, Governor Ivey signing the lease build program a week ago today. The day before you guys went into session. I guess pretty much there seems to be somewhat of a consensus that, we in the legislature had the opportunity, never could quite get it done, and this seems to be the next best or next possible option. Hearing this, and I'm not sure how you would even start, but Representative Mike Jones, Andalusia, according to Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the House, is working on what they call it a backup plan just in case the lease thing doesn't work out. You've been the chairman of the general fund. You're now the ETF chairman. How do you even go from what we've been talking about for the last year or so to the possibility, and let's say it comes in front of you or at some point, to going with a bond issue and having the legislature just commit to the financing instead of a lease? Does that even theoretically possible right now?
I think it's theoretically possible for sure, but what we're seeing is a couple things. One, you said the legislature didn't get it done. Well, that goes back to the Robert Bentley days, and the Senate passed, by recollection, two prison bond bills. They went to the House and died. We never got them back for a conference committee or anything like that. So, I don't want to point fingers at my colleagues, but we do take solace in that, but that doesn't get it done for the taxpayers. But since the Bentley days, we've had no real proposal or anything out of the Ivey administration, and they, of course, are proceeding with this lease-back type scenario, and that's what they've been pursuing. And with a part-time legislature, and we weren't in session very long in 2020 because of COVID, this is kind of the fruit of that, in that the executive has most of the cards, and of course they're the ones duty-bound responsible for the prison system and constructing prisons, but they've got they're holding most of the cards in this environment, particularly when we're not in session and able to deal with
it. I mean, and it's kind of fascinating how that played out. And I we could always, hindsight is 20/20, or as Pat Dice says, 50/50. If you didn't have Bentley, who was kind of a controversial figure at the time when y'all were trying to grapple with prisons. Might you have found a solution to this legislatively instead of having to kick the can down the road to where we are today?
Oh, I think so. I think that is highly, highly probable. If you see when Governor Ivey came in after the election of 2018 and we passed the infrastructure legislation, and she was very much invested in that, worked votes, and came out way on top when it came to the legislation getting passed, and she made that certainly the top priority. If I don't even think it would have taken that much political muscle to get a prison bond bill through the legislature under her leadership.
And that's interesting you say it, because it just hasn't been tried. And I, you know, that was always the hang up, if I understand correctly, that you would have a few members here scattered around the state that didn't want to lose prisons in their district because of obviously of the job losses. And that was the hang up. But if Governor Ivey had used the same tactics that she used with Rebuild Alabama, called a special session within the session, have your votes lined up, have all these deals made and laid the groundwork. Would it have been feasible that you guys could have done it through the legislative process?
I think beyond feasible, I think it would have been a fait accompli. I think it would have happened. Here's one thing there's no dispute about, Jeff. We have to build new prisons, 21st century prison-style prisons with the angles allowing for cameras and more electronics, and which reduces the guard count necessary. There's no dispute about that. I just think we could have done it before we wind up where we are, where there's still this standoff between the lease model and the old design-build model using bond proceeds.
But it just seems that the Department of Justice lawsuit maybe caught some of those, some of the state government a little off guard. They knew that there was that possibility, and the Department of Justice had warned the state repeatedly, but the timing of it coming in the middle of COVID, maybe that kind of sped up the sense of urgency.
I think we always had it, and they being the Department of Justice, had given us some informal deadlines, and progress has been made. The Department of Corrections has received tens of millions of more dollars from the general fund for the hiring of more correctional officers, for more mental health treatment for the inmates, and all in trying to comply with various rulings of Judge Thompson there in Montgomery.
Yeah, but it continues to be the saga, and this goes back decades and decades and decades, that Alabama seems to come up every 20, 30, 40 years. I guess my question is, from your perspective, do you think this solves that if you do some things, in the legislature with mental health and provide more funding for, whatever the Department of Corrections needs, did he build these prisons? Does this keep the DOJ away, or are we going to be revisiting this in 20, 30 years again?
Oh, I think if we get the three mega prisons built and we staff them adequately and provide the required services for the inmates, I think the Justice Department will have bigger other fish to fry and to deal with, rather than trying to continue to pursue Alabama. And that's whether there's a Democratic or a Republican administration in D.C. I think they'll move on if we get on with it. And, of course, that's what Governor Ivey's certainly attempting to do, is get on with it and without involving the legislature.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that you don't think that it matters, because dealing with the Trump administration, in theory, would have been easier than under having to deal with the Biden DOJ, but you don't think that matters, that if we look like we're getting the job done and making progress, the DOJ, regardless of who's running it, it looks like it'll back off.
Well, we've got to move, and that's where talk is cheap, and they've got to see some progress. And we've known about this and known about this. And I wish the legislature had, we had the proposal from the executive branch of the old design build model. I think it would have passed, but since no proposal came in, then I guess the governor decided to just take it on herself and do it that way with using the lease model and crunch the numbers and has concluded that that makes more sense. My hope is whatever makes the most sense financially for the state is what we ultimately wind up doing.
And real quick, we'll get out of here on this. How come no one from the legislature, at least this quadrennium, I guess, tried it again? Even the Democrats are complaining about it. But as far as I can tell, and I've scanned Allison, I don't see like an alternative piece of legislation in filed or anything like that yet.
Yeah, that gets back to, I think, Jeff, something I alluded to earlier, mentioned earlier, the part-time nature of the legislature. We are not in session for, full-time like the Congress or a few other states like California. So therefore, something this big, this heavy a lift, billions of dollars, really needs to originate from the executive branch, from the governor's office, and really they're the ones, they're the ones that are going to have to implement it, and that's where it should start. The plan should be proposed, the legislature tweak it, kick it around, do what it will do. But this is where having the governor and all the powers behind the executive branch for a heavy lift like this. If, for example, Senator Greg Allbritt, the general fund chair, had come up with his own plan, it would have been much more difficult to pull off when a single legislator comes up. Hey, guys and gals, here's how we want to spend $1 billion plus on prisons. It would be met with much more skepticism just because of, not because of Senator Allbritt, just because of the nature of who started it and who was behind it.
Well, that's all very interesting. Senator, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we got to get you on again soon before the session's up.
Thank you, Jeff. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Say, Senator Arthur Orr on the program. We got to get a timeout in here. We will return. This is FM Talk 106.5.